Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, May 24th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 21, paragraph 2, reading through 8 sentences only. Beginning with, here is the fellow who has been puzzling you, ending with, let him drink for a day, and he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. Today's readers are Mary P. on the 12 steps, Tanya P. will read the 12 traditions. Our reader of the text is Chanel T. Juby E.B. will read our closing, and Wendy M. is our backup reader. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, Thursday, May 23rd, is 21,427. That's 21,427. And the share ID for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, Friday, May 24th, is 21,430-21430. Our newcomer greeter is Diane B., and our announcements person is Shelley E. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Jody. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I think someone might be unmuted. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mary P. I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Tanya P., recovering in Michigan. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, purpose. There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility, side enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. from Michigan. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 21, paragraph 2, reading 8 sentences, beginning with, here is the fellow, and ending with, even dangerously antisocial. I will now ask Janelle T. to begin reading.
Thank you, Janelle T. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
Yes.
In Washington State. I am a grateful compulsive eater. I get to live in recovery today, and that is purely by the grace of my higher power I choose to call God. Here is a fellow who has been puzzling you, especially in his lack of control. He does absurd, incredible, tragic things while drinking. He is a real Dr. Jekyll in this state. He is seldom mildly intoxicated. He's always more or less insanely drunk. His disposition while drinking resembles normal nature but little. He may be one of the fellows, yet let him drink for a day, and he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. Well, surely this doesn't apply to me, right? I just have a weight issue. I have an over-exercise issue. I just have a purging issue. Yeah. Guess what? when I'm in the food, when I'm in the ease, whether I'm binging, restricting, overexercise, whatever the manifestation may be of my being in the disease, I am an unlovely creature. I remember my daughter saying to me, "Mom, I never know what I'm going to get. Sometimes you are the nicest person and I feel loved and accepted and cherished." I don't think she used the word cherished. She was pretty young. Doesn't matter. Sometimes, other times, and I never know when it's going to happen because it could happen right after that. You are horrible. You're horrible to me. Because I lectured her, I shamed her, and often I yelled. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, I wanted to be Dr. Jekyll all the time. I wanted to always be good to people. I really did. I wanted to be good to myself. But I wasn't. In the disease, I am in this duality of, okay, I'm going to be nice, but often it's with selfish ends in mind. I'm going to be nice so you'll do what I want you to do. And warning, without even meaning to, I'm not going to be truthful. I'm not going to be someone you rely on as a friend. And instead of sticking with all of that so that I depress everyone, I'm going to say there is hope. Because if I can experience recovery, anyone can. It is beautiful what happens as these sponsees come from their unlovely state of face down food and food behaviors to incredible freedom. There's work. There's love. But the power does all the heavy lifting. And as long as we stick, as long as I stick with what's in here to do, which is simply prescribed for me, I can just be the Dr. Jekyll. I can be the kind, loving the time. Yeah, I mess up. But most of the time, I can be someone who can look myself in the mirror in every respect and say, you know what? Like that person. I am so grateful to all of you. I'm so grateful to this program, and I'm grateful to my higher power. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. from Washington. Okay, I'll now take a list of people who would like to share on these sentences. Page 21. Here is the fellow through
me. Yeah.
The antisocial. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who was that who would like to share?
Nadia B.
Nadia B.
Nick, Rob.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't catch those.
Nick.
Nick?
Uh-huh. And Santa Street. Okay.
I heard Mick. Was there someone else?
Roz G.
Roz. Gotcha, Roz.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Okay, let's go with those.
Janice,
I have Nadia. Oh, Janice. Okay, gotcha, Janice. Nadia B. Mick. Didn't get your initial Mick. Roz G. Bruce E. and Janice. Okay, please go ahead, Nadia.
Thank you so very much. It's Judy, I think, right?
Jody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Jody, for your service. My name is Nadia B. I am gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. Thank God for this program. I, as the first speaker so eloquently described this condition. As she was speaking, I was thinking, it's not that I didn't want to be better. I didn't want to be nicer. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to gain weight. I didn't want to not go to my friend's birthday party because I prefer binging by myself at home. I didn't want to be late because I needed to throw up. I didn't want to spend my weekend running for hours and hours. I didn't want to spend my life at the gym and leave my family, you know, alone to fend for themselves. I didn't want to abandon people. I didn't want to choose food. But I had no power over that, over my desire. You know, it's so today, you know, I do have the heart, you know, for an alcoholic, because I've been there. You know, we're not bad people. And we are not stupid. We understand that the way we are living is not ideal, but we just can't do better. If I could do better earlier, I would, but I couldn't. And it took me a long time, you know, to get to the place where I could stand myself. And it took a lot of steps. It took a lot of sponsors, and it took, you know, a lot of meetings. And I'm so grateful to this meeting, because this was, you know, the journey that and the path that led me to recovery. But I've heard, you know, I just want to say we're not bad people. We would do better if we could do better. And today we can, because we know how to, because we know there is a program of recovery. We don't have to rely on just abstaining. You know, abstaining was so painful for me. But recovery, as, you know, as hard as it can be, you know, is so much better than whatever I was living. So I'm so grateful for this meeting, and I'm very grateful for this program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nadia B. from Connecticut. Mick, please let us know your initial and where you're calling from, if you will.
Yeah, I am Nick F. I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you, Jody, for your service. This brings up so much for me, you know, and I would want to say, like, to the newcomer, this is why we have to get out of the food, you know, into this life. I am now able to think about my thinking. You know, I don't have to go with my first thoughts. These first thoughts that tell me I'm unworthy and I am undeserving. I get to look in the mirror today and see the miraculous thing that higher power has done in my body, inside and out. Very much living in a grave of 400 pounds, you know. And sometimes when I say that I was 400 pounds, you know, that yet wants to come up, because if I go back to the food, it won't be 400. My sponsor said it'll be 500 or 600, you know. And I never want to live in that kind of grave again, where I could not move at 34 years old. You know, I had no sex drive. I had no feminine characteristics about myself. I had stopped bathing and washing my face. And, well, I did wash my face, but that was pretty much all I was washing. And, you know, I was wearing a 5X in the seams on my work uniform. They were about to bust, and I was going to have to start asking for a 6X. And, you know, just in that awful grave. And when I look in the mirror today, there is no doubt about that God has changed my heart and my mind, because I can wear small, and I never could spell the word small, but it's not the, it is very much about the size of my body, because my obsession and my allergy is a manifest, it manifests as enormous, as the more that I don't want to be seen, the bigger I get. The more I want to shrink away from life, the bigger I get. And so when the food is where it needs to be, I have no desire to hurt myself today like that anymore. I get to now focus about my thoughts. You know, I'm not fighting anything or anybody, any situation, any circumstance. Now I'm really in this place where I can embrace higher power, the one who's performed all these miracles, and I can think about my first thought. You know, I can pause, I can pray, I can think, and then I can say what God would have me to be. I don't have to react. I don't have to cover up who I am. And yes, this is a challenge, but it's going to be a fight anyway. I'm going to either fight the food or I'm going to fight being who God, you know, I'm going to embrace who God would have me to be. It's still a fight to wake up at 4 a.m., but it's a fight that's better than eating Popeyes and putting these things in my body that will kill me. Now I'm fighting in a way that's going to continue to bring me life. And so I'm just so grateful to be here with you other fighters. And with that, I will definitely pass.
Thank you very much, Mick S. Didn't get where you're from, Mick. You want to let us know so we can find you on our member list? Mick, press star 1 to unmute.
I'm in Tennessee. Mick F. in Tennessee.
Thank you, Mick.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Roz, please. Take it away.
What do you want me to take away? I'm just kidding. Hi, just kidding. I love you, Jody. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, God, in Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles. And, you know, kind of honing in on that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde saying. And I can be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, whether I'm in the food or out of the food, if I'm not checked. Asking God to direct my thinking every morning. That's so important. It's very important for me to ask God to direct my thinking, to divorce it from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Because when I get into self-pity, I think about me, myself, and I, and what I don't have, and how everybody has what I want and I don't have it, and why didn't God do that for me? And when I am like that, I am a most unpleasant person to be around. And yes, me too. When I was in the food, I was unpredictable. I remember one time I was going to my sister's house for some occasion, and in order for me to just stomach that day, to get through that day, I went to the drive-thru at McDonald's to get a large fry to eat that before I went there so that I could, you know, handle it. Because she would take forever to serve the meal and I would be hungry. I mean, I did that to get through the visit with my sister. And with her, I've been unpredictable. But today, because I asked God in the morning to direct my thinking, and while it's not perfect, I have a pretty much homeostatic emotional state of being. And if I have emotions, like I already did a 10th step this morning because I felt some resentment. I have tools to be able to ask God, how should I behave in this situation? How can I trust you, infinite God, instead of finite Roz, in this situation or with this person? And when I do that, I don't have to go through those personality changes. Sometimes they happen, but not as often. And I'm so grateful for what this step work has done for me. I have a beautiful life. I have a life filled with joy. I have a lot of friends inside of program and outside of program, wonderful hobbies, great relationships with my family, compassion for others, sponsors. I can ask for a better life, and I'm on an even emotional keel today. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. from California. And now Bruce from Florida. We'll hop over to Florida.
Well, thank you, Jody. Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida, and I'm gratefully recovered today. By the grace of God, thank you, Lord. I've puzzled a lot of people, including myself. I mean, I've puzzled myself as much as I puzzled other people. But I can get real puzzling and I can get real out of control when I'm in the food, when I'm in the sugar, the carbs, and the caffeine. Man, I get, I don't get mildly intoxicated. I get like over the top intoxicated. So I'm the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. If I remember right now, it's been a while since I read about this, but Dr. Jekyll was pretty normal, I think, maybe. He was a doctor, and then he turned into Mr. Hyde when he got real nutty and crazy and weird. And, yeah, I can get into Mr. Hyde really quick when I got that sugar going through my vein. And absolutely drunk, insanely drunk. And I don't resemble my normal. I think now I'm in my normal nature, you know, because I'm not using the caffeine. I'm not using the sugar. I'm not using the carbs. I'm not abusing food. I'm not overeating. I'm not doing that stuff. And so I'm pretty normal now. And I'll tell you what, normal can be a little boring, you know, it can be. But I'll take normal over the insanely drunk. You know, between the two, A and B, insanely drunk, A, B, normal, I'll take B, normal. I make a lot more friends that way, and I keep a lot more friends that way, you know, especially my family. And I pulled some stuff off when I was insanely drunk. We'd make trips to North Carolina. I'd want to overeat. I'd want to get into the donuts. But my wife wouldn't go to sleep in the car while I'm driving, so I'd have to go in there and eat the donut or two or three while I was in the convenience store talking to the clerk or walking around the store eating that. And my wife would catch me, and she would get very, very mad at me. You know, what took you so long? You're in there eating donuts, you know. So anyway, that was insanely drunk. I'm not doing that stuff now. You know, I got away from that. I quit doing that stuff when I got sober and abstinent. So thank you very much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much for sharing, Bruce E. from Florida. Janice K., please go ahead.
Hey, this is Janice K. in Oregon. Oh, boy. What hits me is he does incredible, tragic, absurd, incredible, tragic things while drinking. Back in the beginning, before I came to program, I had a life sentence of living inside the same skin with someone who didn't even like me. A while back, we went through a paragraph that talked about an alcoholic and his cups is an unlovely creature. Living inside the same skin with someone who doesn't like you really defines the unlovely creature. And I wanted to be good. I wanted to be just this beacon of light shining out into the world. But you can't do that when you are full of so much negative stuff. I went into program and they told me that a self is like a clear picture. Not picture on the wall, a picture like a pitcher of tea. You can only pour out what you put in. And when you put in things that are negative, all that comes out is the anger and the hurt and the fear. And I began to notice this, and I noticed I could not change it. It took years. It took years to get to the point that I was willing to let a power greater than myself come in and do the cleanup job that needed. I like television shows about restoration. They come in house and they make it new. And that is what the steps do. The steps take the wreckage of my past, scour the windows clean, which is quite a job. It takes sometimes several trips through the steps. but eventually the sunlight begins to come in. So here I am with the sunlight of the Spirit, and I learn to watch things that get in the way. I am grateful because I get to live in the same skin with someone who likes me now. And if I give light to the world, then that's my higher power. That's my higher power you're seeing. That's not the natural state of me. It's been highly cultivated, and we've worked on it. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice Kay from Oregon. Okay, if you've come in recently, we are on page 21, second paragraph, the first 8 sentences, beginning with, here is the fellow who has been puzzling you, and ending with, let him drink for a day and he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. Who else would like to share?
Alex K.
Alex, gotcha.
Jan L.
Jan L.
Jackie M.
Jackie N.
M.
M. Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. Alex K. Jan L. Jackie M. Anyone else?
Nicole C.
Nicole C. Awesome. Okay, let's go with that group. Please take it away, Alex K. And let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you, Jody, and everyone doing service and everyone here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. Well, I certainly was a Jekyll and Hyde. My binge foods, sugar, are like a mind-altering drug. As soon as it entered my body, I can almost feel it coursing through my veins and filling every cell, and my personality changes. The craving and the obsession are triggered, and all I can think about is getting more and more. And that drive takes over my brain and my life. It becomes the most important thing in my life, and I don't care about anyone or anything else except for getting my fix. I can be happy and calm and abstinent and sane and pleasant, engaged in life. Sugar, I turn into a crazy, frantic, self-centered, self-destructive, sugar-seeking, isolating addict. The disease controls me completely. It's really scary and powerful. I'm so grateful that I found this program and my higher power, which are powerful too, and have transformed me in miraculous ways, given me abstinence for some years, relief from the food obsession and compulsion, and peace with food and emotional balance. I don't have the extreme highs and lows I used to have. And positive personality changes in that, becoming more higher power centered, and I'm in my defects less and learning new ways of being and thinking that are healthy, practicing gratitude, doing service, and learning and growing and healing every day, becoming more and more what my higher power wants for me, happy, joyous, and free. I'm so grateful I don't have to hurt myself with food today. Thank you all for helping me with my recovery today and helping me get the medicine I need to treat my disease every day. Pass.
Thank you so much, Alex K. from California. Jan L., please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Jan L. from Florida. I'm definitely the real compulsive overeater. I started as a very young
toddler, and I am that real compulsive eater. I couldn't always identify with this paragraph, this puzzling one. Now I have been able to for many years. I never thought I could get free of my binge foods and eat and not want to eat until the next meal. I never thought I would do all the things necessary, you know, or required to get this freedom. And it's not just freedom from the food. I was always more or less full of food in some way or sick from the consequences. I would be very antisocial, either aggressive or mostly isolated, thinking I wasn't hurting anyone but myself. But then, and this still happens, but I have a program, I can get tight at exactly the wrong moment. I can get easily agitated. However, most of the time, I don't even know what I'm feeling. I have to do my step work on my thoughts. I have to pay attention to my body and when I'm getting, feeling like I'm racing or breathing heavily and different things in my body because I'm still learning of my feelings, but this program teaches me. So I do the work on my thoughts, which are not where my mind needs to be as a recovered person. Dishonest and selfishness, those reveal themselves more and more each day in my motives. I had no idea, but it's okay because there are many others in this on this line and in the big book meetings that I go to that have these same thinking patterns. I'm not alone. I can't afford to have them. I can't live in them, or I'll go back to being insanely in the food and behaving insanely and being sick all the time. You know, and I shouldn't say can't because I can go back. I don't want to. So, hospital, sanatoriums, you know, I was never in treatment, but I was in a lot of hospitals for different things, but I had problems healing. I didn't know it was because of how the toxic food I was eating and so much of it in such large amounts. And the dishonesty, oh, it comes in many forms. But today I'm so grateful. I'm free and I'm grateful and I'm happy to be on this line. I think my time might be up. So thank you to all of you and to all the recovered people who've been patient in helping me and still help me today. That's it. Okay.
Thank you very much, Jan L. from Florida. Jackie M., where are you calling from this morning? Press star one, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi, there you are.
On mute. I'm Jackie, and I am a compulsive overeater. I live in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and I really, really like what I read, and I could relate to the lack of control and being absurd and incredible with the way I used to eat. I underlined insanely drunk. I was insane with the food, and it was dangerous. Because there's all kinds of illnesses from compulsive overeating. And I watched my sister, who didn't have a program, who had many illnesses, diabetes, and she passed away young. And I feel so bad about that. One of what I keep in front of me is I say this to myself. Rigorous honesty / action. And that's what is necessary for me to successfully work this program. And the last thing I'm going to say is, I circled Mr. Hyde. Well, I hide. I'm not at my goal weight. And I don't want to go out. I don't want to go out socially. I make myself. So that kind of ties in with dangerously antisocial. All right. Okay. Today I have a sponsor. Today I have a program. Today I know I have to be honest. And even if I don't feel like it, I have to take the action. And I don't feel like it a lot of times. And then I have to remember, you do it until it becomes automatic. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Jackie M. from Michigan. Nicole C., where are you? Today.
Hi there. This is Nicole C. from Washington State. Thank you to everyone who's doing service on this meeting, including everyone who has shared. I am getting a lot from these shares, and the part of the reading that's really standing out for me is the analogy of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. As it was being read, I remembered something that happened early on in program. I was abstinent from flour and sugar, which of course they are my alcoholic foods, and they trigger the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And also that allergy of the body for me is physical, like my face breaks out almost immediately and painfully, and I change mentally. Something chemical happens in my brain, and you know, which is why the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing really is. I really relate to it. And before I came into program, I couldn't see that in myself. I didn't see that I had these wild swings in personality, but other people did. And when it was pointed out to me, I was just livid. I could not believe. I was so offended. But one day I saw it. It was early in program. I was abstinent. And it was before I realized sugar is in pretty much everything. And I had ordered out some food. And after I ate it, I was driving, and I wanted to kill everyone on the road. Everyone was doing everything wrong. And I got this wonderful little intuitive hit. There was sugar in that food. And this is what happens. This is what happens to me. And I was so grateful for that moment of clarity to I mean, I didn't like to see that about myself, but I was grateful for it. And I am so grateful to not live in those wild swings today. And as someone else pointed out, you know, I don't have to be using food to have those swings. That can happen abstinently. However, unlike before, where I didn't have a choice, when life had me irritable, restless, and discontent, the only choice for me was food. Now I have a choice. Now I have a choice. And that is such a gift. That is such a gift. And with that, I'm asked. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Nicole C. from Washington. We have time for one more 3-minute share or a couple of 2-minute shares. Who would like to share?
Hi, this is Julie E.B.
Hi, Julie. Go ahead, Julie.
All right. Well, I'm glad to be able to sneak in because this passage really changed my life. It between this and a special edition about steps to emotional recovery, talking about for me, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, what that meant for me, that I could seem a lovely person, is that part of my disease that makes me try and fake it. And the harder I try on the outside to make my life look like I've got it all together and everything's great, and whether I'm trying to be just a super person, super worker, super mom, super to my partner, or super sponsor, whatever it is, anytime I'm trying to do that, I'm in that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and there's getting a bigger and bigger divide between my outsides and my insides. And what this program did for me is help me to connect those pieces together. You know, the big book says I can continue on as best I can, blotting out my consciousness, my awakeness to my intolerable situation. For me, that's the intolerable situation, is that I'm sometimes I might try, the harder I try to look all together on the outside, the sicker I'm getting on the inside. And so today, I am, as one song says, broken and beautiful. And the words my higher power gave me recently were beautiful, blessed, and baffled. And so for me, that's what this part of the disease is all about. How can someone be okay and then all of a sudden not okay? But if I'm continuing with having people in my life I can be honest with, whether it's 10, 11, or 12, whether it's going through the steps with a sponsor, working one-on-one, as this book calls us to so frequently, one with another, not just listening, but struggling along together. Somehow my outsides and insides can become connected. I can either continue on as best I can, blotting out my consciousness, my awakeness to my intolerable situation, the big book says, or seek spiritual help. And today I just need more. I need more from a higher power, from all of you. God is doing for me what I can't do for myself. Thanks for letting me share. This is Julie E.B. in Colorado.
Thank you very much, Julie E.B. from Colorado. Okay, we are out of time. Thanks, everyone, for a beautiful meeting. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 164. I will now ask Julie E.B. to read our closing.
All right. I'm still Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the person who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to that your relationship with God is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.